Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:12, are you there? It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places," or in the heavenly. Our teaching on demons, right? I don't know if you've learned so far. Can I see your hands? Praise the Lord. Okay, we've seen quite a number of things, right? I trust for many of you, do you see that is good to let God's word correct your ideologies? Have you seen that? Okay, have you seen that so many things that we've been taught about this particular subject has been wrong? Have you seen that so far in this teaching? Okay, a lot of things. Okay, so what this teaching, I told you at the start of the teaching, is to help renew our minds, praise the Lord, in this area. Amen? To demystify Satan and demons. Is that clear? Okay, what exactly are they? Okay, and what exactly are they not? Okay, helps you see all of that. Amen. So that is the purpose of this particular teaching. So we began this teaching by saying that actually there is a reality that exists all around the man which man cannot see with his natural eyes. Okay, Paul calls that reality the heavenlies. Amen. That Greek word is Epuranos. Okay, that word means literally the unseen realm where spirit beings dwell. Okay, and we said that realm severally has been thought to be up in the skies, right? You go past the galaxies, the planets, then you get to a town, amen, suspended in the air, right, called the heavenlies. But we said that is not the case, amen. What is called the heavenlies is simply that unseen realm where spirit beings operate. You follow that? Okay, and it's all around the man. That realm is on the earth, praise the Lord. Okay, but interestingly, that realm is all around us, but we cannot see into that realm until God opens our eyes to see into that realm. Okay, in 2 Kings 6 verse 17, God did that to the eyes of Elisha's servant. You know, that servant was fidgeting, scared, you know, as the case may be, and then his eyes are opened to see angels all around them. Praise the Lord. Okay, you know, that operation did not create the presence of angels, right? Okay, it simply revealed it. The descending of spirit just helps you spot, okay, sense that spirits are there. You get it? That's what Paul will later call the descending of spirits, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, so demons are all around the man. God is in that realm as well. Men are in that realm, okay, being spirit beings. Christ is seated there at the Father's right hand. Okay, angels are present in that realm. Okay, so the Christian must know everything that pertains to that realm. You get it? Okay, so you must know about God, right? Because God is in that realm. You must know about Christ, right? Because Christ is also in that realm. You must know about the man, because the man is in that realm. Okay, you must know about angels, amen. Okay, and also about, you know, those neighbors that are not so kind, amen. Demons, okay, those dark spirits that occupy that realm, that reality all around other men. So we began by tracing the origin of demons. Where exactly the demons come from? Okay, if God made everything and everything that God made was good, Genesis 1 and 2. Okay, so where exactly the demons come from? Okay, we said that demons would be a deviation from God's original creation, right? Okay, and how did they come about? Not by trying to fight God. Demons can't. You know, Satan can't think of doing that, okay? He can't. Okay, so what does he do? He goes for the next best thing, which is the man made in the image and the likeness of God. Isaiah 14 speaks of the pride and downfall Oh, the king of Babylon called Lucifer, the shining one, the morning star, the bright one. Okay, Lucifer is not the devil. Amen. He's a man who reigned in Babylon at that time. Okay, but in his pride and downfall, we find a manifestation of the devil. Is that clear? In Isaiah 14:14, it says there that he wanted to be like the Most High. Okay, now not God Almighty, but the man. Okay, man was made like the Most High. Genesis 1 tells us that. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27 says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Okay, that image there speaks of the authority given the man over the earth. You see, similarly, Psalm 8:6-8, it says, you've made him there being the man, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. 7 says, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the parts of the sea. Is that clear? Okay, so God put man in charge of the created world. Okay, both natural and spiritual. So it's that charge, that power, that authority that the devil sought after. Okay, so he sought to usurp authority from the man. The Apostle Jude lets us know, he calls that the angels who did not keep their proper domain. Jude 6. Okay, that domain was that original position God gave the angels. Okay, which was to serve the man. God made the angels to serve man. Hebrews 1 verse 14 calls them ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who inherit salvation. And those who inherit salvation are men. Okay, so what does the devil seek after? What does he want? The devil wanted to be master instead of minister to the man. Okay, and how do you achieve that? You achieve that by giving instructions, right? Commands to be obeyed. Okay, so that was the devil's sin. All right, that initial rebellion against God actually had to do with the man. Is that clear? Okay, so we said that man was supposed to get his orders from God, right? He was supposed to obey God's voice. You know, your Lord is he whose orders you obey. You are a slave to whoever you obey. Romans 6:16, you are that one slaves whom you obey. Okay, so your Lord is that one whose instruction you follow. And God wanted to be that Lord to the man, so he gave him instructions. Genesis 2:15-17, you see that there. Okay, but by obeying the devil instead of God, man made him his Lord, switching positions with him. So what happened there is that the master became the servant, because the master, Adam, obeyed his servant, the devil. Get it? Making him Lord. Okay, and that is how man fell. That is how the devil fell. Okay, by man submitting to the devil in sin, pride, and disobedience instead of God. Okay, and the angels, you know, we said, who also submitted to the devil fell with him. And that is how demons were created. So the sin of Adam and the sin of the devil happened simultaneously. Okay, Adam disobeyed God, and Satan left his duty post of service to the man. Okay, and that is how the devil stole man's authority. And we said that as long as man remains under the power of sin, the devil can lord it over him. In Genesis 3 verse 14, God tells the serpent there, which represents the devil, right? Okay, that he will eat dust. The one made out of dust is the man. Genesis 2 verse 7. Okay, that is, the devil will draw his sustenance from the man. It will begin to live on the man like a parasite. You know, we said that actually what we call Satan and demons today was not created by God, right? What God made were good angels, amen? So Satan and demons were good when they were made. God does not create evil. He doesn't make evil. Okay, so what is called Satan and demons today, those darkened, evil, twisted, malicious creatures were made by the man. Okay, so sin corrupted the angels the same way sin corrupted the world. It brought in all manner of evil, including the corruption of the angels. Is that clear? Okay, so the devil will oppress the man as long as the man remains in sin. Then moved on to see some facts about demons. First of all, we saw the appearances. We said there are several misconceptions about how Satan and demons look like. For some, they picture Satan with horns and tails, some with a pitchfork. Some picture them looking like serpents, frogs. If you're in Nigeria, usually wears red, amen, or black cloth. Okay, we know all these misconceptions here and there cannot be found in scripture. Okay, these misconceptions came first of all from that book, in the early 13th century called the Codex Gigax, popularly called the Devil's Bible, which pictures Satan in that book with horns, talons, a tail, and a green face. You know, I've told you that Christians should not be deriving theology from such books, right? Okay, thank you. Then that misconception also comes from the book of Revelation. Okay, we examined those portions in previous services. We saw Revelation 12:3, where Satan is described as a dragon with seven heads and ten horns. We said that heads and horns there are figurative for nations under the devil's power, under the devil's control. You know, the devil is called the god of this world. Okay, we also saw Revelation 12:9, where Satan is called the serpent of old. And we said the serpent was a picture of cunning and craftiness, okay, in the Jewish thought. So the devil is called a serpent together with the demons because they, just like serpents, are crafty. Okay, they lie in wait to destroy, borrowed from how serpents camouflage to destroy their prey. Again, that is not literal. Okay, verse 4 of that same chapter speaks of the devil having a tail with which he throws down one third of the stars. That is, with deceit, that snake tail, right? He also deceived some angels into joining him. The stars there are the angels, exactly. Okay, then also we saw Revelation 16 verse 13, where demons are described as frogs. Okay, and we said John got that actually from Exodus chapter 8. Okay, where we find the plague of the frogs in Egypt. You know that in that story, Aaron had caused frogs to come upon the land, and Pharaoh's magicians did likewise. Okay, so frogs became a picture or metaphor of false miracles, signs, and wonders done by the devil to distract the unsaved, right? Okay, so the demons are therefore called frogs, Revelation 16, pointing back to Exodus chapter 8. That is, they are doing the same thing that they had done in Exodus chapter 8, which is deceiving men with false signs to keep them in enmity against God. We said that one of the reasons why Pharaoh's heart was hardened was because he saw that his magicians could replicate, right, the same miracles that Aaron and Moses did. That is the point of sorcery. Do you get it? That is the point of voodoo, witchcraft. Okay? Like we say in Nigeria, jazz. Okay? To keep the sinner distracted from the true power found only in God. So he says, what does Christianity have to offer me? You get it? My babalawo can give me money. Come on, do you get it? Okay, I can get healing from my babalawo. So what do I need God? Okay, what do I need God for? Okay, so that will be frogs. Do you get it? False miracles. So neither Satan nor demons look like snakes or frogs, nor do they have horns. These are all figurative descriptions pointing to cunning and deceit. We've said in this teaching that Satan is a shapeshifter. Okay, so it comes how you least expect. You follow that? 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, Paul there calls him an angel of light. He says he transforms himself into an angel of light. The word transform there literally means to change clothes. Okay, to change one's outer appearance, to masquerade. Okay, so devil comes in disguise. So that means if you think it looks scary, it won't come scary. Do you get it? Okay, you see in 2 Corinthians 11, it comes as ministers of righteousness in verse 15 of that chapter. Now, those are preachers. You know, those are the least you would expect, right? Okay, who are demons operating by demons, operating under the influence of the devil. The least, the men who wear a suit, okay, it would say, God bless you. It would smile. Come on. It would hold Bible, right? Okay, but he has several demons operating in his life. Okay, so what Satan does is that he comes in a manner best suitable to lure a man. Okay, so it will come in a righteous, holy form. All right, so that is Satan. Satan is not obvious, is that clear? Okay, I said with Satan, what is obvious is to distract you from what is not obvious, right? Okay, so it will make you think that it looks like that red creature, so that when he appears, you won't know that it's him. Get it? So in your mind, it looks like a red creature, then he appears in a suit. You know, that is deceit, right? Okay, so that is what he does. Then we moved on in this teaching to see the current abode of demons. You know, there are some who believe today that Satan and demons are currently in hell, torturing people. But the Bible nowhere teaches that. Again, that is an error gotten from that poem, Dante's Inferno, which pictured hell as a torture chamber. Okay, and also from pagan mythology. The pagans had some deity who was seen as ruling the underworld. For the Greeks, they had Hades, who was the god of the underworld. The Egyptians had Osiris, Okay, the god of the underworld, the Norse had Hel, H-E-L, the daughter of Loki, who was the ruler of the underworld. Okay, but such concepts are foreign to Christianity. Okay, they came in much later. Maybe one day I will show you how Greek thinking made its way into Christianity. It's quite interesting. In every area of Christianity, you find that there. How the Greeks think. Because, you know, after some time, you know, when Christianity, you know, initially was a Jewish faith, right? Okay, then later on, the Greeks came in. Okay, and most of them came with their ideologies. So it affects several areas. Several areas. You get it? So maybe one of these days, I will show you how that happened, okay? Such concepts are foreign to Christianity. Is that clear? Okay, Satan and demons currently operate on the earth. Okay, in Job 1:7, God there speaks to Satan. He asks them, from where do you come? And Satan doesn't say hell. Okay, he says from going to and from the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Okay, so the devil's kingdom is not hell. Amen. He operates on the earth. He's called the god of this world. Ephesians 2 calls him the prince of the power of the air. Okay, that is, he's as close to the man as the very hair that he breathes. That's what that means, okay? Okay, on the earth. In Revelation chapter 2, you see there that Satan's throne was at that time. Okay, that was where he was operating from at that time. Is that clear? His base on the earth. So where is he now, Pastor? Nigeria. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Nigeria, okay? Alright, so, you know, we also examined two verses, amen, that seem to imply Satan in hell currently. 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6, right? 2 Peter 2:4 says that for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, okay, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And we said that there are several Greek words used for hell, right? And Peter is very careful, very, very careful with the word he uses here. Interestingly, Peter does not use Hades, which means grave, Sheol in the Old Testament in the Hebrew. He doesn't use Gehenna. Gehenna literally refers to a waste site. Okay, an incinerator, a shutting form of the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, just outside Israel. In Bible days, when the Jews worshipped foreign gods, they would burn their children there. Okay, in that valley. Then later on, it became a waste site, a place for everything filthy and unclean, okay, to be destroyed and burnt. Okay, so that would refer to the place of destruction of all things. Okay, Peter does not use that word. Instead, he uses the word Tartarus. Tartarus, we've said, is a place in Greek mythology where the Titans were cast down and imprisoned. Okay, pointing to how demons are demoted and restrained. So Tartarus refers to a fallen state, right? On the earth, not hell. Jude uses chains of darkness to describe the same thing. Okay, so Peter means that demons are fallen angels. They've been brought down or cast down to a state of demotion and restraint. That is Tartarus. Is that clear? Okay, and they exist in that state on the earth. Okay, so the activities have been restricted on the earth. They've been cast down from the kingdom of heaven, from their power, their place, their authority there. They've been cast down from their original position. They now roam the earth in that fallen state, unable to go back to their fallen estate. Okay, just like in Greek mythology, the Titans, when they were thrown down to Tartarus, could not claw their way back up again. Okay, Mount Olympus, where the Greek gods dwelt. Okay, so these fallen angels cannot get back. That is Peter's point here. They can't get back to their original position anymore. Is that clear? Okay, so that's all Peter says here. Not that God cast demons down to hell, the lake of fire. That has not happened yet. That will happen at the end of the age. Okay, right now, these demons are chained, restrained. They are under the power of darkness, Jude says. So both Peter and Jude address the current fallen state of demons. They are saying the same things, right? Only using different words. What Jude calls chained under darkness, Peter says Tartarus. Follow that? They are both describing that fallen state of demons. Now remember that demon means fallen spirit, inferior spirit, right? Literally. So you can say spirit in Tartarus, right? Or spirit in a state of demotion. Or using Jude's words, spirit in chains. That is restrained, restricted spirit. So there is nowhere in the Bible where Satan and demons are in hell currently. Is that clear? Alright, that will happen at the end of the age, where they will be thrown into Gehenna, that lake of fire, that incinerator. Amen? Okay? And when this happens, they will not be torturing people there. Okay? They themselves will be tortured and eventually be destroyed in that fire. Revelation 20 verse 10 tells us that. Then we saw hierarchy amongst demons. We said that the Bible teaches orders of government, right? Amongst evil spirits. Ephesians 6 verse 12 speaks of principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, these are all political terms in ancient Greek times, okay, which Paul then applies to demons. So that means you will find a form of similar structure amongst demons. Okay, they have authorities, amen, powers. Okay, but the Bible is not clear as to this hierarchy. But the Bible is clear on one thing, that Satan is the head of the demons, right? Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Remember that? Okay, he controls the flies, the demons, okay? Evil spirits. Is that clear? Okay, so the devil is that head, okay, of demons in scripture. And that is where scripture stops. Amen. So we must be silent where the Bible is silent. We must also ask the question that are Satan and demons omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient? And we arrived at the answer no. We saw from scripture that Satan needs to travel, just like angels, right? And men, from one place to another place to be there. Okay, so he doesn't have unlimited power, only God does. Okay, Satan doesn't know all things, right? He had to learn and grow in Matthew chapter 2, right? Concerning Jesus' whereabouts, he didn't know that Jesus was born until he was told. Okay, and even when he knew, okay, he didn't know where Jesus would be born. Then he found out Bethlehem, he didn't know the age. He found out 2 years and under, right? Yet he didn't know, you know, specifics, the street name, the house number, the house color, right? The neighbor's name, he didn't know all of that. Okay, so he had to grow in knowledge in that story. You know, eventually he found out that he was deceived. Probably, you know, as those wise men went, he sent a demon with them. Do you follow that? And then it took a while for that demon to come back and to report. Do you follow that? That's probably what happened there. So he said, ah. So he waited and waited and waited. You know, the demon will have to travel back, right? You know, they are not everywhere all at once. Okay, so he comes and says, ah, they've deceived you. Okay, then he's angry. Do you get it? Okay, so Satan and demons have power, but it's limited. You know, in John, you see Jesus speaking to the disciples there, and then he says that, you know, I won't talk with you much longer because the ruler of this world is coming. Right? So I don't want him to hear what I'm saying. Do you follow that? No, that is some wisdom. Right? I don't even know what I'm talking about to you. You get it? So he has to be there. He hears things, right? To know those things. He has to observe things, okay? To know them just like the man. Okay, then we saw demons through the ages, beginning with the Old Testament, four Gospels, the Epistles, and Revelation. In the Old Testament, Satan and demons are not very visible. And the reason for this is that they disguise themselves as false gods, causing destruction. In the four Gospels, Satan and demons are much more visible because Jesus came on the scene to reveal and to destroy the works of Satan. And this he does successfully. Praise the Lord. Okay, Jesus is the first person we said who was able to successfully exorcise demons. Amen. Okay, and it didn't stop with Jesus. Jesus transfers that same power to his followers, begin with the 12, 17, and then all who believe. Mark 16, verse 17. Praise the Lord. Okay, and we saw in the book of Acts, okay, that saints were able to cast out demons successfully. Philip at Samaria, Acts 8. Paul at Philippi, Acts 16. Okay, we also saw that demons do not have names in scripture. They are always called what they are doing at that particular time. Okay, so a demon will be called spirit of what he's doing, right? Spirit of infirmity, spirit of legion, you get it? Or a legion spirit, a seducing spirit, okay? A mute spirit, you see that? Mark 9 verse 17. Acts 16 verse 1 speaks of a spirit of divination. That is a soothsaying spirit. Okay, so demons are named by their particular influence, their particular operation at that particular time. Is that clear? Okay, so the Bible does not give them distinct names. You know, we also said that demons are not responsible for every sinful action and every rejection of the gospel. Men have a free will. Amen. So that means men can also choose to sin or not sin. Men can choose to believe or not believe. Okay, so not every rejection of the gospel, not every sinful action is caused by the devil and demons. Men also must take responsibility. Is that clear? Okay, for their actions. Alright, then we saw the final destiny of demons and Satan. Revelation 20 reveals that someday all evil spirits will be cast down into the lake of fire to be tormented and destroyed. You see that in verse 10 of that chapter. Then we also examine demon possession, right? Okay, we ask the question, can a believer in Christ be demon possessed? And we said that is a wrong question. Okay, the Bible does not teach demon possession, okay, in the sense of a person having a demon living in him. Let me clarify that. Is that clear? Okay, so when we say the Bible does not teach demon possession, that's what we mean. Is that clear? The context, okay? A demon living in a person. Okay, you know that usually in the church world today is the general meaning of demon possession. To be controlled by a demon from within. Okay, but you see some people who say that, well, you know, when we say demon possession, what we simply mean is that it's under the influence or control of a demon. Okay, that's fine. Do you get it? If that's what you mean, that's fine. You know, if you look at some lexicons, you find demon possessed there for demon is a mind, right? As a definition. Some Bible translations have that as well, okay? But what they mean is under the influence of a demon. You get it? So if that's what you mean, okay, by demon possessed, then we have no issues with you, okay? But simply, just clarify what you mean. You get it? Okay, explain what exactly you mean. Where exactly is the demon causing the trouble, causing the issue? Is that clear? Okay, so if what you mean by demon possessed is a demon within, then that is not true according to scripture. Is that clear? The closest you find, Luke 22 verse 3 says that Satan entered Judas. Again, that is a figure of speech, right? A manner of speaking, which simply means that thoughts entered his heart, which were placed there by the devil, right? Okay, the devil placed evil thoughts in his heart. You see the same thing, John 13 verse 27. Do you get it? So if you mean demon possessed in the sense of an indwelling demon, then we do not agree with that. You know, since I said that demon possession means something completely different today, you know, I would suggest we use something completely different. Is that clear? I suggest we don't even use demon possession. Personally, that's what I would suggest. We use something completely different, okay, to clarify what exactly we're saying. Okay, you know, there are also some people who have tried to categorize demonic influence, demonic operation into demonic oppression, obsession, and depression. Right? But we said this classification is unnecessary because they are found nowhere in scripture. The closest you find, Acts 10:38 speaks of being oppressed by the devil. Okay, so I rather stick with Bible terms. Demonized is fine. Demonizomai, or you can say having a demon, having a spirit, a che demonion, a che pneuma. Okay, pneuma kakos, an evil spirit. Okay, is that clear? Alright, so let's use Bible terms. So we've said that demons do not dwell in human bodies, hearts, or spirits. Okay, they can live around them, right? And their activities, their lives, their homes, their offices, their family life, okay, troubling them. So when demons are cast out, demons are not cast out of a person's body. Demons are cast out of a person's life. I don't even know there's a difference. Okay, it's life entirely, okay? And you see the words for exorcism, they reveal this, ekbalo esekomai. Ekbalo means to banish. Esekomai means to go forth from. Okay, so when demons are banished, the demons leave that vicinity and their operations there cease. Is that clear? Okay, so that is what is referred to as casting out of demons in scripture. Okay, we also said that demonic activity can be discerned in various ways, in violent behavior, right? Sicknesses, false doctrine, okay, and discerning of spirits, through the discerning of spirits. Okay, so look out, amen, okay, for such things in your Christian walk, so that you don't fellowship with demons unknowingly. Exactly, be able to sense your environment, amen. Okay, look for the physical evidences and also that inward evidence, amen, that discerning, as you can tell, praise the Lord. Okay, what spirit is operating at a particular time? Okay, diacrisis, right? Discerning of spirits, praise the Lord. Then in the last service, we examined believers' authority over demons. We said that Christ was raised from the dead and Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, right? The right hand in the Jewish thought is a place of all power and all authority, okay? And he's seated there above all principality and power, praise the Lord, okay? But it doesn't stop there, we are seated with him, praise the Lord. Okay, that is what identification means. Identification means that all that Jesus became are the resurrection we became. Praise the Lord. You get it? So is he righteous? Okay, then we are righteous. That's identification. You get it? Okay, is he holy? Then we are holy. Do you get it? Does he have power? Then we have power. That's identification. Is he a son of God? Then we are children of God. Okay, everything that he is at the Father's right hand, we are today, okay, in him. That's what it means to be in Christ. In Christ means to be identified with Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that means that we have the same power that Jesus has over principalities and powers, right? Okay, angels, principalities and powers are angels, and that would include demons, right? Who are fallen angels. So in Christ, we have authority over demons. Amen. Okay, we are God's children, so Satan can't touch us. Remember that? Okay, Satan eats dust, right? He has power, he derives power over men in sin. Okay, but take away sin and he has nothing. Praise the Lord. Okay, and that is what Christ did. Praise the Lord, okay? He has rendered him powerless over all who believe. So we've been set free. Say, I've been set free. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the devil has no right to eat dust in the life of a man born again. Okay, in Luke 9 and 10, we see there that Jesus gives the disciples delegated authority, the 12 and the 70, to cast out demons. We said that authority was not theirs, right? So there is a difference, come on, between the authority before he died, right, and after his death, right? That authority before he died was delegated. It wasn't theirs. They just used it for him. It's like giving you mic. I say, please use this, get to you, and then come back. Okay, but after he's raised, like saying, the car is not yours. You get it? Okay, as your very nature. Praise the Lord. Okay, so it's not delegated authority. It is ours. Praise the Lord. So we have the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay, we have that very authority that he has today at the Father's right hand. Then we saw how to cast out demons practically. Okay, we saw quite a number of things. We said, number one, know that it is not hard, okay, to cast out demons. I know you're a Nigerian, so it's quite hard, right? Because you grew up in a church whereby, you know, the pastor is shouting with the lady is shouting back, right? Malode, mili lo, anike malode se, mili lo se. Understand? They go back and forth with themselves for over 10 hours. Then demons say, ah, okay, multi tired, I'm going. You get it? Okay, but it's not hard. You know, in scripture, demons respond to authority immediately. Praise the Lord. Okay, the issue is authority. Do you get it? Okay, demons respond to authority immediately. Okay, you see Jesus cast out demons with a word, right? A simple instruction was all he took. Okay, so please approach exorcism with that mentality. It is not hard to cast out a demon. Also, we said do not allow condemnation. Amen. In Christ we are righteous. Praise the Lord. Apart from works, there is therefore now no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. So you may sin, okay, but you still have the right to use that name. Do you get it? Okay, that name is not yours because your life is perfect. No, no. Praise the Lord. Okay, it's yours because you are a man in Christ. I'm a man in Christ. See, I'm a man in Christ. And I have the right to use the name of Jesus at all times. Praise the Lord. Okay, and also we said give clear commands. We said demons can't read your thoughts, right? So don't say, I bind you, I bind you, I bind you in your thoughts. Okay, give clear commands. Is that clear? Okay, and don't pray to God about demons, we said, right? You cast them out. God did not give birth to spiritual handicaps. Okay, spoiled brats. Anything you want, you have to go to him first every time. No, you to talk. Do you understand? Okay, I mean, I give my child a credit card. I said, use the credit card, get whatever you want. And to use the credit card, you still need to come to meet me to use the credit card for you. Ah, I asked you, what's wrong with your hands, right? Okay, so God expects you to use the resources that he has given you, that name, right? That authority. Okay, use it, praise the Lord, in casting out demons. And also, we said speak the word, right? Speak scripture. Now, the devil doesn't like the Bible because the Bible reveals to him his past, his present, and his future. Praise the Lord. Okay, and they are not good. Amen. Think about that. Okay, so speak God's word that reveals Satan's defeat. Colossians 2:15, one of such texts, says, having discerned principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 1:1 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 2:14-16, it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 4:4, it says, you have God, little children, and overcome them, because he that is in you is greater. Remember that word, mizon, mightier than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:18, it says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God, God himself keeps, right? Okay, and the wicked one does not touch him. Praise the Lord. Okay, so meditate on these verses, memorize them. Okay, usually helps, like I said in the previous service, to quote them offhand. Okay, from memory. Okay, and we also said lastly that if the person is unsaved, get him saved. Okay, the person being ministered to, if he's unsaved, get him saved immediately. Preach the gospel to him, get him to believe, and enroll him quickly in a local church. Is that clear? Then also we gave a bit of admonition. We said Christians should not become overly obsessed with demons. Remember that? Okay, you should meditate on pure thoughts. Philippians 4:8. Okay, and this is why Jesus warned his disciples in Luke 10, okay, about being obsessed with demons. Luke 10:20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That is salvation. Okay, so Christian joy should be based on salvation. You get it? Salvation is a greater miracle. Don't you think so? Okay, more than casting out a demon. You know, a demon cast out can come back. Right? But salvation cannot be lost. How about that? Get it? Okay, so our joy should be in salvation more than casting out of demons. Is that clear? More than the working of miracles. Okay, it doesn't mean we should not rejoice when we cast out a demon. We should, right? But if you're rejoicing 10 times for casting out a demon, rejoice 20 times for salvation. Do you get it? Okay, all your thoughts, your meditation, your perception, you know, everything you are consumed with should be salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so we'll pick up from there in this service. Now, in this service, we want to see recent developments in Christian demonology. Amen? Recent developments in Christian demonology. Now, you know that our understanding of scripture keeps evolving, right? And we try to keep up with that evolution in this church. You know, I've said that time and time again, right? Okay, we must continually grow in God's word as he illuminates scripture. You get it? So, you know, scripture is just like a field of study. You follow that? More and more, there are recent developments, you know, in that field. Just like, you know, tomorrow medicine comes up and says, okay, we've discovered this. The Christian, and I also want to say the pastor, should not be one who is too comfortable with past knowledge. I endeavor not to be like that. Okay, whereby I just feel I know everything. No! I'm continually, me personally, I continually seek to get better in God's word. Get it? So I look, what are they saying today about this? Follow that? What are theologians saying today about this? What are theologians saying today about that? Get it? Okay, I always seek to improve my understanding of scripture. Now, in recent times, there have been new developments in our understanding of demons. Okay, new developments. And there are some who believe that what the Bible calls Satan and demons are not actual beings. Okay, so they believe that Satan and demons are in reality a dark force. Do you follow that? Or a dark principle at work in the world. So according to this view, Satan and demons are not historical beings. Okay, they are not fallen angels. They are not evil creatures who try to destroy men and the earth. They are simply a dark, inanimate force. Do you follow that? Okay, so when the Bible speaks of Satan and demons, the Bible was actually referring to an evil force. That's all these folks believe, okay? Impersonal, non-existent. So Satan and demons are personifications of evil in this thought. Okay, they are figures of speech, not actual beings. So this recent movement denies the existence of a literal Satan. It teaches only a figurative one. So in this movement, Satan and demons are seen as myth. Amen. So in this movement, we are Satan. You follow that? I see, look at me. Okay, we are Satan in this school of thought. That is, Satan refers to the darkness or the evil in us. You get it? Okay, our dark side. We are the Satan. We are the devil. We are the demons. Do you get it? Our carnal mind, our oppressive system, and so on and so forth. You see that Socrates, a Greek philosopher, was known for saying that he was guided by a daemon. D-A-E-M-O-N. D-A-E-M-O-N, okay? It says it was guided by a daemon, an inner voice. That's what it refers to, is daemon. Okay, an inner voice. Now, interestingly, it says that that voice never told him what to do. Only what to not do. So you see, this thinking has been here, tipe-tipe, right? Okay, so Satan is seen this way in this new school of thought. Okay, he's simply a figure of speech for all the evil in the world. Do you get that so far? Okay, so he's not a literal, actual, living person. So this view is naturalistic in thinking. It denies the existence of supernatural beings which cannot be seen or touched. Okay, there is a German New Testament scholar known as Rudolf Bultmann, R-U-D-O-L-F-B-U-L-T-M-A-N-N, R-U-D-O-L-F-B-U-L-T-M-A-N-N, okay, Rudolf Bultmann, okay, that German New Testament scholar belonged to this school of thought, okay, and he referred to demons as myths, okay, which should be taken away from the gospel. Now, you know, this manner of thinking definitely affects the concept of demonization or having a demon. So in this school of thought, demonization is seen simply as mental illness. Okay, so this movement opines that since science was primitive in Bible days, the Bible referred to mental illnesses and epilepsy as being demonized. Okay, so there is no such thing as a demon influencing another's behavior, okay, according to this view. According to this view, the violent behavior we find in demonized persons in the Bible can be explained today as mania and epilepsy, not an actual influence by demons. You get that so far? Okay, so when demons were cast out, okay, it's not that a demon was literally cast out. It was simply madness or epilepsy getting cured. Do you follow that? Not an actual demon stopped from further operation. So this view, interestingly, says that the biblical writers, okay, mistook mental illness for having a demon. Do you get that so far? So there is no such thing as Satan, right? According to this view, no such thing as Satan, no such thing as demons, no such thing as demonization. Okay, when the Bible speaks of demonization, since the Bible was not so vast, verse in science and medicine, the Bible mistook mental illnesses. Do you get it? I want to ensure you get it. Do you get it? Okay, the Bible mistook mental illnesses such as, you know, mania, epilepsy, for demonic possession. Do you follow that? Now, interesting view, don't you think so? Quite interesting. All right, now let me say this, that it is true, okay, that demonic attacks can sometimes resemble epilepsy and mental illnesses. That is true. Look at Mark 9, for example. Mark 9:17. It says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Now look at 18. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. On the line, it seizes him, okay? On the line, throws him down. He foams at the mouth. On the line that, he foams at the mouth, gnashed his teeth, and becomes rigid. On the line, gnashed his teeth, okay, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Now observe how this demonic attack is described. It says the boy is thrown to the ground, right? He foams at the mouth, right? Gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. Now all these are physical symptoms of epilepsy, right? And convulsions. Yet it is caused by a demon. Come on, did you spot that? Okay, you see that in Mark 5, that demoniac of Gadarenes, he acted like a maniac. You see that verses 3 to 5, Mark 5, it says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, nor even his chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him. You see that? And then I look from there to him, okay, the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. Online from that to him as well, there and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out. Underline that, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Underline that, cutting himself with stones. And you see here, there was violence, right? Self-arming, incoherent cries, and social withdrawal. Now, all of these are symptoms of mental illnesses. So the first one is what? Symptoms of what? Epilepsy. Now, this one, symptoms of what? Mental illnesses. Okay, so we see demonic attacks resemble normal human sicknesses in the Bible, yet they are influenced by demons. They are not natural. Do you see that? Now, the Bible is also clear that not every epileptic case is caused by a demon. So it is true that a person can have a mental illness and epilepsy not influenced by demons. Okay, so not every sickness is caused by demons. You know, we said that, right? In this teaching. Look at Matthew 4:24. It says, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed. You see that? Number one, epileptics, okay, and paralytics, and he healed them. So you see here that having a demon is differentiated from epilepsy and paralysis. You see that there? Okay, so that means the epilepsy and paralysis was not caused by a demon. You see, separated? Okay, now the word epileptics here, it translates a Greek word. I'll give it to you. S-E-L-E-N-I-A-Z-O-M-A-I. S-E-L-E-N-I-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Okay, the E after L is accentuated. It refers to being moonstruck. Moonstruck. Moon, S-T-R-U-C-K. Okay, to be a lunatic. Okay, it describes violent behavior characteristic of madness. So epilepsy was not always caused by demons in scripture. Have you seen that so far? Okay, but did demonic attacks sometimes take the form of mental illnesses? Yes. Now, in those cases, you cannot reduce mental illness to mere natural symptoms. Okay, in those cases, the mental illnesses and epilepsy were actually caused by demons. So it is true that there can be epilepsy and mania without demonic influence, but demonic influence can also take that form. Is that clear so far? All right, thank you. Now, the Bible doesn't teach a figurative Satan, but a literal one. Praise the Lord. The Bible does not teach a figurative Satan, but a literal one who has influence, not just in our dark side. You know, that's what these guys teach, right? Okay, not just in our dark side, but also in the literal world. Now, in the book of Job, we see Satan there as an actual being who can talk. Look at Job 1:7. Because I want you to follow this very close. Is that clear? All right, thank you. Look at Job 1:7. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered. Come on, did you spot that there? Underline that, okay. Satan answered, the Lord and said, underline that, and said, from going to and from the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Now, the word Satan here is a masculine noun. Okay, used for a literal person. So here we find him being asked questions and he responds back. You know, a figurative force cannot respond back. Come on. Okay, now this same Satan could also influence nature, not just thoughts. Okay, like this recent school of thought opines. You see in Job 1:16 that he controls lightning, right? Let's see that. Job 1:16, it says, when he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God, underline that, okay, the fire of God, now that's lightning, okay, fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. In verses 18 to 19, it causes a tornado, okay, which demolishes a building. Look at verse 18. It says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind, underline that, a great wind, that's a tornado, okay, came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. It can also influence men. Job 1:17. Okay, Job 1:17, it says, when he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. So the Chaldeans are inspired by the devil to be destructive. See that there? Okay, furthermore, the devil could cause bacterial infections. Job 2:7. Let's see that. Job 2:7. It says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Now, a dark force can do all of this. Come on. A dark non-existent force can do all of this. So in Job, we don't find Satan as a figurative principle. He's an actual person, right? He talks, he walks, and he acts. Do you see that so far? Okay, Satan has influence over the earth. John says that, 1 John 5 verse 19. First John 5, verse 19. It says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." Paul calls him the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, "Whose minds the god of this age has blinded." Underline that, the god of this age, okay? "We do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Now let's see the four gospels. And you see that Jesus talks about Satan as a literal person, not a figurative force, a dark force. No, it speaks about Satan as a literal person. Jesus calls him the ruler of this world. John 12, verse 31. It says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." You see that? Okay, look at John 14, verse 30. John 14, 30. It says, "I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming." You see that? The ruler of this world, and he has nothing in me. Look at John 16, verse 11. John 16, 11. It says, "Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." You see that in his temptation, Jesus is tempted by an actual devil, right? Who can speak and be spoken to. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. You see that there. Jesus wasn't battling with his dark side in the wilderness, okay, or his inner demons, like these guys teach, okay, in the wilderness. No, but an actual being. Jesus wasn't hallucinating. This being actually took Jesus to the pinnacle of the Jerusalem temple, right? Physically. Matthew 4, 5. Let's see that. Matthew 4, 5. It says, "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple." In verse 8 of that same chapter, it takes Jesus up a high mountain physically. Let's see that, okay? "Again, the devil took him up an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." Now, how can this happen if the devil is simply a dark force? Do you get it? Not an actual being. Not only that, you see that Jesus cast out demons literally. Amen? He wasn't casting out dark forces. No, he was casting out demons, actual beings, literally. Look at Matthew 8:16. Matthew 8:16. It says, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits." Underline that. He cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. You see that those spirits obeyed him. Mark 1:27. Mark 1:27. It says, "Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits." Underline that, unclean spirits. "And they obey him." You see that? Okay, they obey him. They sometimes spoke back to Jesus. You see that? Mark 3:11. Mark 3, verse 11. It says, "And the unclean spirits," underline that, "the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying," underline that, "cried out, saying, You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them, underline that, he sternly warned them that they, see that? Okay, beings, right? Persons, right? Okay, they, underline that, should not make him known. Okay, they could torment people, these demons. Look at Luke 6, 18. Luke 6, verse 18. It says, "As well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits." Underline that, tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. You see that? So they tormented persons. Satan could bind people. Look at Luke 13, verse 16. Luke 13, verse 16. It says, "So not ought this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," underline that, "whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath." Okay, you see that those tormented and bound could be cured. Luke 7, verse 21. Luke 7, 21. It says, "And that from that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits." Underline that, evil spirits. "And to many blind he gave sight." Now the curing here would entail casting the demons away, right? Okay, and Jesus wasn't casting out evil thoughts, okay, or dark sinful principles in men. No, he was casting out, banishing literal entities. Okay, you see, Matthew 8 records how demons left a man and entered a herd of pigs, right? And those pigs, under the control of demons, committed suicide. Let's see that. Matthew 8, 32. Matthew 8, verse 32. It says, "And he there being Jesus, said to them," that is the demons, "Go." And when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Now, pigs do not have suicidal thoughts. Come on. Okay, pigs do not think of suicide. So if demons are simply our dark thoughts, right? Not actual beings, then how could these dark thoughts leave the demoniac, a human being, and be transferred to animals? Come on, do you get that logic? Okay, so that makes no sense. So the only explanation here was that something supernatural was going on. So there were actual beings troubling that demoniac. Those actual beings, not dark thoughts, dark principles, no, actual beings left that man into the pigs, controlling them. You follow that? In Matthew 16, Jesus there tells Satan to get behind him. Matthew 16, verse 23. Let's see that. Matthew 16, verse 23. It says, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" Actually referring to the spirit controlling his thoughts, right? And his words and his actions. He says, "You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." That phrase, "get behind me," literally means get out of my sight. Okay? Leave my vicinity, where I am. Okay, get away from me, Satan, in the Greek. Ipaj opiso moi. That's that phrase, okay? So Jesus says similarly, Matthew 4, let's see that. Matthew 4:10. He says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan.'" Underline that, "away with you, Satan," okay? "For it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Now you don't tell impersonal thoughts to get away from you, right? Only literal beings. You see that Jesus calls the devil a liar and a murderer and the father of it. John 8:44. Please turn your Bible there. I want you to see this, okay? John 8:44. Learning so far? Thank you very much. John 8:44. It says, "You have your father, the devil." See that? Okay? "And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, if Satan wasn't a real being, but our evil thoughts. Now, look at what Jesus would have said here. Verse 44. "You are of yourself the devil." Come on. Right? Okay? "And the desires of yourself you want to do." Come on. "You were a murderer from the beginning." Now, the beginning here is Genesis. Come on. Okay? "And do not stand in the truth because there is no truth in you." Since we are Satan, right? When you speak a lie, you speak from your own resources, for you are a liar and father of it. You know, this statement is nonsensical, right? Because that very idea of us being Satan is nonsensical. Do you follow that? Okay, you know, none of the Jews Jesus was referring to here existed from Genesis. Only the serpent did. Genesis 3:1, right? Please turn there. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'As God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden.'" That serpent is the devil. Revelation 12 verse 9 tells us that. It says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old." That is that serpent from the very beginning, from Genesis, called the devil and Satan. You see that? Okay, who deceives the old world. It was cast into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. The devil is therefore a he, not a it. Do you get it? An actual being, not a metaphor. Okay? Satan and demons are not sinful impulses in men, but fallen angels who seek to destroy men. So, demonic attacks should therefore not be mistaken for mental illnesses or epilepsy. Is that clear? Okay, now I've told you that the devil seeks to destroy everything good in our lives, right? He seeks to destroy people, and one of the ways he does this is with bodily conditions. Sickness can be an oppression of the devil. Look at Acts 10:38. As we begin to close gradually now, Acts 10:38. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil." Do you like that? "Healing all were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." You see that? So sickness is one of the ways that the devil oppresses man. Okay? And Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. It says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Underline from that to devil, okay? Jesus has conquered the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Let's see that. Hebrews 2:14. It says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, himself likewise shed in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." You see all of this? You see that a figurative Satan cannot tempt people. Come on. Come on. A figurative Satan cannot kill people. Come on. A figurative Satan cannot cause natural disasters. And a figurative Satan cannot be conquered. Come on. Okay. You know, if we say Satan is a metaphor for all things bad, okay, our bad actions, our bad thoughts, our carnal thoughts, our dark side, then maybe someday we can also say that Jesus is a metaphor. You don't think so? For all things good. Right? Good thoughts, good actions, right? Okay, he never actually existed. So do you see that thinking is very dangerous? Do you see that now? Very, very dangerous. Okay, so leave this teaching with good news and bad news. Praise the Lord. Which one do you want first? The good news or the bad? Okay, let me start with the bad. Okay, the bad news is Satan does exist. Amen? And so do demons. They are not dark forces. Our dark side, our bad emotions. No. There's an actual being called Satan, okay, an actual being called demons, and they seek to destroy all good things in our lives. Okay? But look at the good news. The good news is that Jesus has already defeated them. Praise the Lord. Okay? Colossians 2:15, we're there earlier on. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. But look at this. That conquest of Jesus is in the spirit realm. Okay? But it hasn't been fully manifested on the earth. Do you get it? Jesus has conquered, defeated the devil forever, spiritually. But on the earth, we still see the devil operate, right? He's still very much in control, right? Causing evil here and there, right? So what happened? Is there a contradiction? No. Jesus is waiting for us. Praise the Lord. His church to enforce his victory on the earth. Praise the Lord. The writer of Hebrews tells us that. It tells us that since his glorification, Jesus is now waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Hebrews 10:12-13. Let's see that. Hebrews 10:12-13 as we close. It says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, since he sat, now look at this, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Underline that, okay, from waiting to footstool. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Okay, so even though Jesus has already defeated the devil and his hosts, he's waiting for his bride, amen, the church, to exercise that authority in the earth. So what does that mean? That means that we, the church, are to bring what is real in the spirit realm into the natural. Praise the Lord. Okay, and this we do by casting out demons, healing the sick, and setting men free by preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. And that is why we have the name of Jesus is authority today. What is that name for? What is that authority for? What is that power for? Simple. That power, that name, that authority is to bring heaven down to the earth. Praise the Lord. You get it? That reality, praise the Lord, that is present in the unseen realm, we then make it visible in the seen realm. Praise the Lord. So did you learn? Okay, so we'll put a full stop on this teaching here. I trust it blessed you. Okay, I trust for several of us, it corrected a lot of things, right? Okay, for several of us, I trust it revealed so many new things to us that we didn't know previously. Okay, so I ensure you meditate on this, okay? And not necessarily meditating on demons, okay? But everything you've learned, okay? And let it influence your experiences. Hallelujah. Okay, so lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him. Oh, thank you, Lord.